Welcome to World Communion Sunday. Why in the world did we read a Bible passage with words like divorce and adultery today? Please be sure to keep your seatbelts fastened during today's flight. Today things can get a little bit bumpy because today's Bible reading is a favorite to use for scriptural abuse. Equal terms. Why do we use the Bible to cut people down? It's really easy to look at the first part of the reading and think, wow, Jesus hates divorced people. Context is super important here, however. In Palestine, at the time Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, divorce was all about what the man wanted, what the man did to make the divorce happen. Women had no power in this situation. The Pharisees brought Jesus a question that was a trap. He couldn't answer it without angering some. So he angered some. He asked them what the law of Moses said. Then he answered a different question without dealing with the legality of things. Jesus talked about the ideal for marriage. He talked about it in equal terms with men and women. Equal terms. Equal terms in marriage and divorce. And then the equality of children with adults. Jesus took the trap and showed the Pharisees and the disciples that marriage was intended to build up both people in the marriage. He showed the Pharisees and the disciples that their rules caused trouble when they sought to use them to take power and persecute someone else. Look, marriages fail for many reasons. People are too quick to start saying things like, well, they were abused, so of course they wouldn't hold a divorce against them. While at the same time saying, irreconcilable differences? What kind of an excuse is that? What has happened in our society where people just throw away their marriage vows like yesterday's trash? Why do we use the Bible to cut people down? Incidentally, do you know where the divorce rates in the U.S. are the lowest? Illinois, Massachusetts, Texas, Iowa, Georgia, Kansas, Michigan, Wisconsin, Louisiana, and Washington, D.C. A majority of those 10 are blue states, not all of them. States with the highest divorce rates? Nevada, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Idaho, Wyoming, Alaska, West Virginia, Alabama, Utah, Florida. Almost all of those are red states. Among religious people, the divorce rate is highest for Christians over any other religion, with conservative Protestants leading the way. Look at that. And atheists have a lower divorce rate than any religious group. I don't want to attack the right and praise the left. I don't want to say that atheism makes for better marriages and that Christianity destroys marriage. None of that's fair and it's not true. But I have to point out that we have to stop thinking that liberals destroy marriage while conservatives save it. We must stop thinking that religious folk are immune from marriage breaking up, while non-religious folk just throw it out the window. Divorce is painful and sad. But couples across the religious and non-religious spectrum get divorced. Same-sex couples get divorced, too, at a much lower rate than opposite-sex couples. Not in terms of the number of divorces, but the percentage of divorces. Go figure. But divorce happens with all couples. All kinds of couples. Why do we use the Bible to cut people down? I don't think people enter into a marriage with each other with the idea of ending it. And I don't think Jesus ever intended us to take today's reading to shun and chastise people who have suffered through abuse or who have lived through divorce after failed marriages, regardless of the reason. I do think that Jesus wanted married couples to take their vows seriously and to live their lives loving each other, living at peace with one another. But it is also so not Jesus to kick someone when they are down. Jesus teaches the opposite. In the second part of today's reading, they're all connected. We've got another lesson related to children. But while the one from a couple of weeks ago served and serves as a reminder to welcome everyone, and especially those whom society places little or no value, this week is about experiencing the realm of God not with squinted, jaded eyes and hardened hearts, but rather with awe and wonder. Jesus told the disciples to experience God's neighborhood from the perspective of a child. Stop trying to figure everything out. Stop making everything about this long list of don'ts. Keep with the two rules and let things flow from there. Play, jump, dance, run, shout, giggle. Try one of those. Play, jump, dance, run, shout, giggle. And it's okay. Do them all. Joy is contagious. So come and play. Experience God's realm. Experience God's neighborhood the way Jesus said to. Celebrate today's communion with the joy of resurrection and new life. Let me just tell you something. Whether we're in pandemic or not, we are very, very flexible when it comes to communion during pandemic, because I'm here and you're there and we just have to bless the elements together. And when we're meeting in person, we're not having a big communion ceremony because of the passing and everything like that. So we just have individually sealed things that talk about communion. And we have a ceremony, but then people get communion either when they come in or when they leave. They take that little prepackaged communion with them. But no matter what, everyone is invited, welcomed, affirmed at the table, however the table exists in space or in physical space, digital space. No one is turned away from communion, and no one is required to have communion. So we gather in community worldwide. And today, in this service, in this online service, we're worldwide. Not just us, though. People all over the globe. Worldwide communion. All are welcome at Christ's table. None are turned away for any reason whatsoever. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey. Remember, no one is unimportant. Everyone is valuable. And everyone can experience God's neighborhood, God's presence, God's love with open hearts and minds, like that of little children. Amen.